we'll start. Good morning, good morning. Okay, we are ready. So last time we were doing the mitzvah of the how you should treat a convert and a widow and an orphan. And we just had a little bit more to do before we move on to the next pasuk. And I just wanted to share one thing before we go inside. There was just on, it's on page 2. It's like double-sided. Yeah, it's on the bottom. We're going to do that in 1 second. But just one interesting thing that I saw that was written about this whole idea. So in the pasuk, the words, let me just find it. The pasuk, the words used were imsa'ane, let's see exactly. No, it's okay. Imane sa'ane oisai, which as we said means if you dare cause him pain. The word la'anois is to cause pain with an ayin. And it's a double, anesane, right? Which actually is there for emphasis, like you cause him, you dare to cause him pain. So there's a very fascinating thing that the Medrash tells us that unfortunately during the time of the Romans and they were killing the great tzaddikim, and amongst them were Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and Rabbi Yishmael Kayin Gadol. We talk about this on Yom Kippur when we talk about the 10 great martyrs, yes. So the one of the things that the Medrash tells about that time was that Rabbi Shimon said to Rabbi Yishmael, like, I don't understand why are we all deserving this, or why am I deserving of this terrible fate? And Rabbi Yishmael asked him and said, did you ever keep a petitioner waiting while you had a drink or tied your shoe or put on a coat? Imagine. And Rabbi Yishmael, as soon as Rabbi Yishmael said this, Rabbi Shimon, fascinating thing, he says, you have consoled me, my master, which means to him it was like a fair punishment almost. That's how the standard that they expected of themselves in treating another person. So quite a fascinating thing. When it talks about not causing somebody else pain, so we think of outright embarrassment or what we would classify as pain, but pain can sometimes be, for different people, different things. And if we treat somebody with what they perceive as disrespect, that's also pain. Okay, no problem. Good morning, Leah. So let's see on the bottom of page 2. Let's do finish this, because this is the end of this topic, as we said. Now, I should have done this at the beginning, but we didn't. This is the Sefer HaChinuch. I just don't want to leave it. Sefer HaChinuch, we said, always gives us the beautiful insight into the reason, so to speak. Not reason, more the depth of the mitzvah. Mishar sheha mitzvah, like from the root of the mitzvah. So if you see that on the bottom of page 2, Mishar sheha mitzvah, milvad mashe kasavnu, besides what we wrote. And this is talking specifically about the convert. Kedei lochayf es yitzreinu la'olam, in order for us to subdue and to channel our yetzahara, always leval naase kol asher nimtza bekaychenu laasais lira, that we shouldn't do everything that we could do in the negative. In other words, a person has some negative tendencies, and a person is unfortunately capable of quite negative behavior, negative speech, right? We know, unfortunately, if we allow ourselves our guard down, so to speak. So here what the Torah is doing is putting up certain fences so that we should train ourselves that we shouldn't allow ourselves to do these negative things which the Yetzirah would love us to do, so to speak. And let's see how he says, and that we are capable of doing. Al-Kain, his harsanu bazeh, so therefore, we are very, very warned, bazeh ha-ish, about this man, Shehu Beinenu, who lives amongst us, Beli Oizer V'Saymech. He has nobody to help him, nobody to rely on, right? Because he's a convert, he's a stranger, he doesn't have anybody. V'yeish Koyach B'yad Kol Echad V'Echad Mimenu. And therefore, each and every one of us has the power and has the ability. Im Oyhavav Olav Leval Naver Olav Esaderech Klau. So interesting, even though officially we love him, like we treat him well, but nevertheless, we know that we stand at an advantage when we are next to him. And therefore he says, and what we can do is, we can make it very difficult. Naver sadar, meaning we can block him, we can put obstacles for him, and nobody else might become aware of it, only us and him, let's say. And he says, afilu bedvarim, and even with words, ki ilu hu ke'echad mimenu, as if he is one of us. So in other words, don't do it. Do not treat him that way because you have that advantage. And this is what the Torah, we mentioned, this is what the Torah wants to implant in us. And as he says, and from these, if you want to say fences, but these precautions, nikne nefesh yikar, and now he says such beautiful words, what that will do besides for protecting the other person, and this is a very important aspect. On the one hand, we're protecting the convert, right? The stranger. He shouldn't be mistreated. He shouldn't be abused because he's at a disadvantage. But the Sefer HaChinuch has a different view. Not different, but a deeper view. He says these mitzvahs are multi-layered because the purpose is for ourselves. What will it do for us? And it's a very powerful thing. He says because we will nikne nefesh yikara, we will acquire a precious soul, it will be, it's a very beautiful, adorned with noble qualities, like with good, with, we will become like crowned almost with the most beautiful nature. In other words, it's training ourselves to be good people. That's what it's about. That's why it has nothing to do, even if the recipient is not aware. That's what's amazing. Let's just say you have a chance to hurt somebody. I'm not hurt, you don't think you're hurting, whatever, take advantage. And the other person will never become aware. Sometimes we could rationalize it has nothing to do with the other person. It has to do with making yourself a better person. And this is a very, very powerful thing. And that's what he says. And then what happens? We become worthy to receive good. And then something fascinating. We fulfill through this the will, the desire of Hashem, who wants to do good. And who does he do good to? To those who are good. So if we make ourselves good, Hashem will be able to give us brachas. So, see, it's like a triple thing. First of all, we become better people, and we are allowing Hashem and giving Hashem the opportunity to bestow good upon us, which is the greatest desire he has. So we're giving him the pleasure to give us something good. And an example I could say is like, sometimes if you have a teacher, let's say in the first grade, and they have a star chart, you know, and the children have to behave. So the child wants the star, but the truth is, the teacher wants to give the child the star, sometimes more than the child wants the star. And how could the teacher give it? Only when the child earns it. So Hashem wants to give us the good, but as he says, he gives the good to good, so to speak. So if we train ourselves to be good. So three benefits for the recipient, the ger, he's going to be treated right. We're going to become better, more pure people, and Hashem will be able, and will give Hashem the pleasure of being able to give us good. So very fascinating, quite a beautiful thing if we are careful in how we behave to the vulnerable. Let's see the other side. Now we come to also his similar to the thing with the orphan and the almana. So let's see. He says, shenim nonu. So we have to hold back. Mehachbid b'maise ayafilu b'dibur, from being difficult, so to speak, from being overpowering, both in action and even in speech. Al hayisoimim v'ha'almanis, on, as we know, as the orphans, the widows. Shenema kol almana v'yosem lo sa'anun, that we shouldn't oppress any orphan, any widow. Aval kol masayu matanai, but all of the dealings that he has, shall adam imahim, of the person with them, yiyeh b'nachas u'b'chesed u'b'chemla. Very beautiful language. It should be like gently and with kindness and with compassion. That's how you deal, not harshly and not heavily. And mishar sheha mitzvah, masha kasafti b'samach, so similar to what I wrote nearby, which means in the previous mitzvah, be'inyan hager, as we read now, which was two mitzvahs before this, but lefi she'ilu hein, she'elu hein teshushei kayach, these people are weak, they're vulnerable, she'ein lehem mi she'yitan ta'anasam, right, we know there's nobody that can fight for them, so to speak, make their claims for them, there's nobody to stand up for them, b'chol nefesh, of any soul, k'may she'haya oise ish ha'almana va'avien shel yisayimim im Haya Kayam, as would have done the husband of the widow or the father of the orphans had they been alive, and they would have stood up and, you know, fought back, so to speak, or put their claim or taken a stand for them. The Al Kain, his Rasnu Torah, Seinu Hashlema, so our complete Torah, what does it do for us? It warns us to liknois midas hachesed, and it actually trains us in to acquire, as we said before, the mida, the attribute of chesed and rachamim, kindness and compassion, binafsheinu, in our soul, v'nihye yisharim b'chol ma'aseinu, and we will be, so to speak, upright in all of our actions, ki'ilu yesh k'negdeinu toyein, b'kayach hataina b'hepcheinu, as if, what we will imagine, it's as if there's somebody standing there and saying, why are you doing this? How dare you do that? How dare you say that? So it's actually a very beautiful idea that what the Sefer HaChinuch tells us, what we can do, what we should do, is literally imagine that the father or the husband is literally there. He's there in spirit, but we don't see him. But never mind, Hashem is there. Because Hashem, as we said, takes, it becomes the father and the, yeah, it's on the bottom. Sorry, Lisa, yeah, just there. So yeah, so that's what we say. So that's what he says over here. Imagine as if there's somebody there who can actually counterclaim what we are claiming if we are doing it incorrectly. And especially that we will watch what we say and how we say it. And he says, V'nochos v'nachmal aleim, therefore we will have compassion on them. V'nirez chusam b'chol davar. And what will happen is when we look at them, we will see their merit. We will see them as correct. Yoiser meshiyanu oisim m'haya av habal kayam, more than if their father or husband were even alive. That's how we'll, so to speak, act. We'll act in such a precautionary way that we will not come to ever harming them. We will not come to ever oppressing them or to causing them any pain. Okay, so that's the end of that one. Now, what I'd like to do is, I'm going to give you new sheets, because now we're going to go to the next few psukim. And the next few psukim is the next mitzvah of loaning money. So, 1 second, I'm going to give it out now. Let's see my things here. Okay, beautiful. Let's see.
This is a very beautiful mitzvah here.
So what we're going to do is we're just going to first read the psukim, just in case someone comes. And then after we read the psukim, she's not, right? Oh, today is the probus. That's right. That's right. It is. Yes, you're right. First, the first Monday of the month. She has a special. Okay. So these psukim that you have in front of you, very famous psukim. This is not the only time in the Torah that we have this mitzvah. This goes under the general category, you might say, of tzedakah, but it's a specific form of tzedakah, considered one of the highest forms. It's on page 290, and we'll start from the top 290, yeah? Im kesef talva es ami. When, im usually is if, but we'll see this one, it's not if. This is not a choice, this is a requirement. So when you will loan money to my nation, es ha'oni imach, to the poor person who is with you, loisiye loikinoisha, do not act towards him as a creditor, and loisisimun olav neshech, and don't place interest upon him. There's a few mitzvahs in here. First of all, the fact that we have to loan somebody money, then how we have to behave to the person to whom we've loaned money, and then how are we permitted to loan money? Only with no interest. So you see, there's a few fascinating things. Let's look into Rashi before we go further, because the mitzvah does continue. But Rashi says, first of all, im kesef talva es ami, when you will lend money to my people. So Rabbi Yishmol, Omer, this is a very famous thing, Rabbi Yishmol says, kol im v'im shebetayra rishus. Any use of the word im in the Torah means you have the choice. If, you know, if you want to, if you don't want to. It's a choice, rishus. Chutz mishloisha, except for three. And this is one of them. The other two are with the mizbeach. We learned about it, that when you build the mizbeach and you make the ramp. And interestingly enough, the third one is Bikurim, which is coming up next week, Shavuos. So that also uses the word im, and it's not a choice. You have to bring the first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash. So it's interesting why it chooses to use this word. Maybe when we see the Mefarshim, we'll see a little bit more insight why it gives us that little bit of a perspective with im. But over here, for sure, it's a mitzvah that we have to do. This is a very fascinating Rashi, the next one, which, as we said, we have to lend. Now comes always the big question, who do we lend to? Let's say we have limited funds. Who comes first? So we'll just see in Rashi, quickly. I mean, there's a lot of talk about this, but see a superficial one look. Es Ami. So by the way of the Pasuk, we learn a few interesting rules. The Pasuk says, who do you loan money to? My people. Which means if you have a choice to lend money to Ami Vigoy, my people, or a non-Jew, Ami Kaidem. First of all, a Jew takes priority. Then, Ani V'ashir. This is interesting, because we're talking about loaning money. Sometimes a wealthy person needs a loan as well, a business investment, whatever. And you want, okay, so you think, oh, for sure the poor person. But if you think about it, no. The wealthy person could perhaps use that money and make so much more, let's say, right? You could think, besides the fact that he is more trustworthy, in a sense, that you will feel more secure because he hasn't lost money, right? The poor person obviously doesn't know very well, I mean, in a certain sense, how to deal with money. That's why, well, we don't know why, but he doesn't have that much money. So there's a lot of things that might pull us to loan a wealthy person money over a poor person, even for the sake of the fact that the wealthy person might support more tzedakahs. You know, you might say, well, he'll give a lot more, it'll benefit more people. There's lots of rational things that can go through somebody's mind. Here the pasuk says, if it's a poor person in front of you and a wealthy person, who has precedence? The poor person. Very interesting. So he has to get first. Ani kaidem. And then he says, Aniyecha v'aniye ircha. If it's your poor, which means your family, if it's related to you, and the poor of your city, aniyecha kaidmin. So you have to first give to your own family. Then, aniye ircha v'aniye iracheres. If you have from your city and another city, your city takes priority. There's a thing about Eretz Yisrael taking priority over you. That's considered our city, so you give to Eretz Yisrael, or to, you know, both equally, I suppose. V'zeh mashma'i. And here Rashi says, you see this from the way the pasuk flows. Let's see, im kesef talve, when you will lend money. So you have to decide to lend it. So who do you lend it first? Es ami, to my people, which means to a Jew. Kaidem legoy. Ula eze me ami, and which one of my nation? Es ani, the poor person. Ula eze ani, and to which ani? That's why we say la oisai sheimach, to the one who is with you, which means either he's related to you, so he's very close to you, or he lives close to you, he's in your city. And then another very beautiful thing. Es ami, see Rashi has a parenthesis, davar acher. What does that mean? Shalai sinhag by minhag bizayin. We're going to see this soon a lot. It's going to develop a lot. That when you loan somebody money, you cannot treat him in a humiliating way, which is very subtle. It even means if you feel that you are doing a kindness and he is coming on to you, so to speak. Any type of a feeling where you make yourself higher, better, you know, so to speak, than him, that's already a problem. Es ami, as we say, shehu ami, for he is a member of my people. That's, and we'll see, the Eibush is very, like, he's really strong about it. So we'll see that soon. Let's see what he says, es ha'ani imach, to the poor person who is with you. So very beautiful. Have a mistakel ba'atzmecha, ki ilu ata ha'ani. You should imagine as if you are the poor person. The Torah has very high standards for us. I have to say that when you read these psukim, you see, and you'll see more, it's like we think it's good enough that I have to give the money, right? I have to loan and I have to give tzedakah and I give a tenth, I give a fifth, whatever. But the Torah has so many extra things. It's not what you give, it's how you give it. And it's your attitude, what's going on in your own mind, how you're looking at the other person. It's very strong and it's not simple. Really, it's not simple at all. As we know, it's very challenging. This is a matter of constant training. And it really makes a massive difference in our relationships with everybody. Everybody that we encounter, everybody that we come into contact with. It's quite amazing. So let's see how we're going to qualify it more and more. We're going to see more and more. But let's see how he says, Loisi yelai kenaisha. Remember we said, do not act as a creditor. What does that mean? So here he says, Loi tisbanu bechazaka, do not make your claim against him forcibly, which means the time is up. He's supposed to pay back, right? So you say, you owe me money. It's true, he only borrowed it. He didn't ask for a present. He didn't say, give me tzedakah. He said, give me a loan. And he's not paying it back. Well, when he doesn't pay back, you have to be very careful how you approach him. As he says, imata yedei she'enla, if you know he doesn't have the money to repay the debt, you cannot come upon him strongly. Al tihi daime olav ki'ilu hilvisai. Do not appear towards him as if you lent him. Ella keilu loy hilvisoi, rather as if you didn't lend him. Klamer loy sachli mehu, do not embarrass him. There are many halachos we're going to see soon, to the point that, and this is interesting because we're talking about you, the person who did the favor, so to speak. If you loan somebody money, the time came, they didn't pay you back. Something went wrong. I don't know. Something got messed up, and they don't have the money to pay you back. I'll just tell you something interesting. It doesn't mean that they have nothing. It doesn't mean they're on the streets, because we'll see soon. They still have clothing. So you could think, oh, let them sell the clothing and pay it. No. We're talking, they don't have the money. I guess they have just enough to eat, to sleep, you know, but not anything extra. You are not even permitted. You should try your hardest not to put yourself in front of them, to avoid their presence, so that not to make them uncomfortable. It's quite an, it's like, whoa, to think that such a different way of looking at things. Yes, Hannah.
So what is it when you have lent somebody and the time passes and passes, and from your observation, they're living comfortable from their lifestyle?
Yes, so there are ways. There are ways. Well, you don't always have to just wipe it off, because that's not the way of Torah.
If it's
a sizable loan and you need the money, and not only even if you don't need it, but it's the fact is justice. That's right. So that's right. You go to a Rav. There is ways of doing it, but as we say, there's ways. That's what you have to follow. There's very strict ways. Yeah, so we won't go into all the halachas, but there's very detailed halachas. So you can't, like, you can't embarrass them. You can't ask them in public. You know, you can't, like, also you can't make just, you know, sometimes you might just let them see you a lot so they remember. You can't do that type of a thing. There is a way, perhaps, that you can send a letter. You can ask a Rav to, you know, and say, can we sit down and discuss this?
Yeah.
But even within that, there's a lot of halachas. Yeah.
Does it say also so about when you loan the money, you have kind of contract?
Yes. It actually says it's a very important thing to do. In halacha, we should, whether a contract, it shouldn't be just a verbal agreement. It's not considered, it's actually looked down upon. Because Torah doesn't want us to come into any rifts with other people. When you have something clearly documented, it's so much simpler, much more straightforward. The person, if he doesn't have money, he can say he doesn't have money to pay back. But nevertheless, there's not going to be this discussion, did I loan you the money or did I not loan you the money? Which is a whole different... Yeah. It's actually strong language. No good. It's the Rambam... Okay, look, I mean, if that's acceptable, if that's the way they do it, but the Rambam has very strong language about that. It's not ideal. Not ideal. Unless there's a witness. No, Hanan. The truth is, Hanan, unless there's a witness. There's a thing. If there's no witness, not. It's considered a terrible thing to do. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how they maybe there's witnesses there. There's somebody else around. Yeah, but is there somebody else around? I imagine. They wouldn't just do it with, I mean.
Between the Sephardi shaking hand, it's like,
yeah, because I think it's like a promise, yeah, to them. So I guess if you know that, but I'm not sure if I can just, you know, we'll see it soon. We'll see it in the Rambam soon. I'll show you the language that he uses about that.
You can't shake hands over the phone.
That's right, if you're not in the same city.
Nowadays, everything is so it's interesting. Yeah, it's best to have a contract, or at least witnesses.
So
and
verbal is not
it is if there's witnesses. Okay. You see, that's the thing. But yeah, this is the... Okay, let's see. No problem. No, Sylvia, no
problem.
On board, as we say, transparency. That's it. All the modern words, and still didn't help. Okay, let's see. Let's see a little more in the pasuk Neshach, and we're going to see inside the Mefarshim. It's quite incredible. This mitzvah. So interest. So now we come to the third part, so to speak, as we say. So A, you have to loan the money. B, you shouldn't be like a creditor. In other words, hound him and, you know, chase him and embarrass him. And the third thing is neshech, interest. What does that mean? Ribis, increase interest, as we say, shehi kineshichas nachash. Why is interest in Hebrew called neshech? Because neshech is like the biting of a snake. Why is interest like a snake? What does a snake have to do with interest? That's a very famous thing. Shenachash noshech chabura ktana biragloi. A snake is a small bite, right, on the bottom of the foot. Yes, and what happens? And the person doesn't even feel it. Veinai margish. as we know. And then what happens, Upisem, so the Ta'am, page 291, the Rashi, Upisem, who mevats beits v'neifeach at kad kadai, all of a sudden it comes like, he becomes all swollen till like the top of his head from the poison. It spreads very, very quickly from a small bite on the bottom of his foot. Kach ribis, the same thing. Einoi margish ve'einoi niskar. He doesn't feel it, and he's not aware of it. Ad sheharibis oila u'mechasroi mamayin harbe. But we know what happens with interest. It accumulates, and it makes the person afterwards have such a big loan that the loan becomes too overwhelming. Now, nowadays we're lucky, we live in a society where there are laws. Unless somebody goes the illegal way to borrow money, they can borrow for very high interest. But even the interest that we have can be quite high and can be quite debilitating. This is the Torah's thing, do not charge interest. Very, very interesting halacha, difficult, and also very involved how it works.
Because we apply to the banks.
I know, it does, they have to do something. They have something called a heter iska, which is a whole thing in the Rabbanan that they can do, which means that they become almost partners with you. Because they're partners with you, they are allowed to benefit, so to speak, from your profit. So it's a way of going around it, because otherwise we wouldn't be able to have a, so to speak. But this concept of not charging interest is quite unique to the Jewish people, where we have these loans that people do give, and it's been all the years. People give loans and they don't charge interest, you know, private, they have these things, and it's an amazing chesed. It's one of the biggest chesed that's possible. And it has helped many, many people to literally set them up again. So it's quite an incredible thing.
Like
yeah, the gemach, exactly. That's what we call it. That's exactly right. I just want to show you one thing. Let's finish the psukim, and then we're going to see the mefarshim. So, sorry, there's two words on the previous page. I feel better back, and then we're going to... So on the previous page, on 290, the pasuk chafei says, im chavail tachbail. So it's an interesting word. If you will take. Chavail tachbail means to take. Salmas re'echa, your friend's garment. As what? As a security. You take it. That's what tachbail is. So in other words, this is interesting. We'll see in Rashi. Rashi tells us, the time of the loan is up, right? He was supposed to pay you back. And he didn't pay you back. Then you say to him, give me something that I can hold so that I am assured that you are trying or that you will still pay me back even though the date has passed. What might he give you? So he might give you a garment. But what do we know about? Something fascinating the halacha is. Ad bay hashemesh tishivenulai. Until the sun sets, you shall have returned it to him. What does that mean? Let's see what Rashi says. This is incredible. So let's put it in perspective. This person borrowed money. He said he's paying it back by whatever, June 1st. June 1st passed. He hasn't paid you back, right? He owes you a lot of money. Now, what does he have to do? He gives you something. I don't know, a good sweater, and you're holding on to it. So you would think, let me at least hold on to the sweater. That will encourage him because he wants his sweater. It's cold outside. To pay me back. Let's see what Rashi tells us. What does this mean? Okay, I just want to see if we'll do... so the first Rashi tells us about this, that it's only when the money is owed already, like when the time of the loan is up. There's a beautiful middle one, but you know what? I'm going to come back to the middle one. Let's look ad bay hashemesh, and then I'll come back to the middle one. Ad bay, do you see the bottom Rashi? Ad bay hashemesh tishivenu loy, ad... So he says... Kol hayom tishivenu loy ad bay hashemesh. You shall return it to him for the entire day until the sun sets. Ukevay hashemesh, and when the sun sets, tachzar v'titlenu. You shall take it from him again. At sheyavay baiker shal machar, which means you have it for the night. Then when the morning comes of the next day, and what does it mean? Ubiksus yoim hakosuv medaber. We're talking about something that somebody wears during the day. So he has a very good coat, a very good sweater or whatever, and it's cold outside. You would think, if I'm holding it, he'll feel the cold. It'll urge him to pay me back. No, no, no such thing. You take this garment when? Only at night when he doesn't need it. During the day, when he needs it, he has it, and every night you can take it back again. Every morning you give it to him back again. sounds absolutely crazy. It does. What's the point of this?
It's a reminder.
It is a reminder. That's one of the big points. It's a reminder. The other point is that it will discourage him from borrowing from somebody else. That's what the Torah is worried, that the person might go to somebody else and borrow more money. Now he doesn't have any collateral, he doesn't have anything, so it will discourage him and make it very difficult for him to borrow from somebody else until he pays the first person back. It's a hard one, it's a hard one, it's a very extreme, if you want to say, case of compassion. Because he needs the sweater. The Torah doesn't want him to freeze. How dare you make him freeze? Just because he owes you money, he should be cold, who says? Okay, let's see. I want to show you something really beautiful in that middle Rashi. Chaval tachbo. He says, you will take your fellow's garment as a security. And Rashi says, this is part of which will help us with the perspective. He says, kapelecha b'chavala at kama pa'amim. So the Torah makes you repeat the act of taking security, even if you must do it many times. And the Torah says, a magnificent lesson from the way Hashem treats us. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem says to us, Bameh ata chayavli. Consider how much you owe me. All of us who feel like, you know, we don't owe anybody money. Well, how much do we owe Hashem? V'harei nafshecha oile etzli kol emesh ve'emesh. Your soul comes up to me each and every night. V'naisenes din v'cheshbin. And it gives an accounting. U'mischayeves lefanai. And is found to be in debt to me. Because I have given you life. I have given you energy. And did you do the mitzvahs that you were supposed to do with that energy throughout the day? Not necessarily, not as much as you could have. So you owe, you owe Hashem a tremendous amount. But what does Hashem do? V'ani machzir lach. Nevertheless, I give it back to you every morning. And I do it every single day, Hashem says. Af ata toil v'hashev. Toil v'hashev. You do what I do. It would be very beautiful if what we can imagine when we do loan somebody else money, that it's like our neshama being given back to us. And we don't want Hashem to say, well, you owe me this and this, so today you won't have your neshama just for today. And it doesn't work like that. So the same way, we shouldn't. It's a very beautiful perspective. It's interesting, of all the people, Rashi doesn't usually bring this type of a thing. This is quite a musr, but a very beautiful insight. But it's just so important for the perspective and how to make this mitzvah actually work. Very, very powerful. We'll see more soon. Now, let's see how the pasuk continues. Really, we should have read the next pasuk, because now the pasuk gives us a reason. Why should we give it back? So the pasuk Chavav says, ki hi ksusai, because it's his covering. Levada hi, levada, it's his only covering. Hi simlosai la'ayrai, it is his clothing for his skin, right? It's the garment for his skin. This is what he has to wear. Bameh yishkav, if you have it, what's he going to sleep in? So now it's talking about the other way. If you take the pajamas, you have to give it back to him at night, as we say. V'hoya, now again, that strong language that we had before. V'hoya ki yitzak elai, if he screams out to me, v'shamati, and I will hear. Why, Hashem says? Kichanunani, because I am compassionate. So you might think he's in the wrong. He owes money. He hasn't paid back by the time. So who's he going to cry out to? The truth is, another person is not going to feel bad for him. But who will feel bad for him? Hashem. Okay, so very interesting. Strong language Hashem gives here for this kind of behavior. Let's see. Just quickly finish the Rashi Kihi Ksusa. It's his covering, so it could be the talis, he says. That's the covering. And Simlosa is Choluk, is a shirt. And Bamed Yishkav, this is interesting, the Rabbis Etzamatza, even the bed linen. So sometimes you might take the bed linen as a collateral, so to speak, as a security. Well, then you better give it back to him at night so he can have where to lie down. Quite a powerful thing. Okay, that's all for the Psukim. Now I'm going to give you another sheet now. I'm going to show you beautiful, beautiful things. Let's see. Because this mitzvah brings up many, many questions, amongst which is the basic question of tzedakah, as we know, because it is part of the tzedakah mitzvahs. So I want to show you something really nice here. We'll start with page one. We'll see as much as we can get it in. It is a beautiful mitzvah, and I must say it shows us how, as Jews, we have such a different way of living. That's it. There's nothing, it's different. It's totally different. Everything is different. So let's see the big question, the first fundamental thing that we have, because this is part of also our perspective. A lot of times when we have money, and it's not just money, and this is not a bad thing. It's not because we're bad that we think this way. But when we have something, we believe Hashem gave it to us, right? Hashem gave it to us, but he didn't give it to the other person. Maybe that's because I'm meant to have it and the other person is not meant to have it, right? These things can go through our minds a little bit, right? Let's see how the Gemara discusses this big question of tzedakah bechlal. So the Gemara continues to discuss the merits of giving charity. So there's a lot of beautiful things here. But we're just going to read a few of them. Tanya hayu Rabbi Meir Omer. So Rabbi Meir, it was taught in a brisa. Rabbi Meir used to say, Yesh loy lebal din la shivcha. So the litigant has an argument to answer you and tell you, and it is the following. So this is his claim, so to speak. He says, "Im elokechem oyhevaniimhu." As we said, he's going to cry out, and I'm compassionate. Hashem says, "I'll hear him." If Hashem actually loves the poor, mipnei ma einay mefarnesan. Okay, so give them money. What a compassion! What kind of compassion is this? Give him money; he'll pay back his debt, then there'll be no problem. Where's the compassion? So let's see how he says such a beautiful thing. And then he says, if that's the case, it must mean that they don't deserve the money. So then why should you be giving them? Okay, so that's what I think. So Rabbi Meir says, Kedei shen nitzel anu bahen. Oh, sorry, Emor. So you say to him, to this person who has this claim, Kedei shen nitzel anu bahen midina shel gehenim. So this is one approach. Hashem gives it to us, rather, he says, why does Hashem make them, so to speak, not have money and us have money? So that we may be saved through giving them tzedakah. And what will we be saved from? From the judgment of Gehenim, which means we have the mitzvah, we give them tzedakah, we get the schus, and then that takes away some of our punishment, which we deserve for something else. It's one way. It's not such a nice way to look, because we think, why should somebody else suffer because of me, right? Okay, but it's an interesting perspective. In other words, what it means also, it's changing the balance of everything. It means that that person really has something on you, because it's because of you, we'll see soon, the Kliyakar says it even like quite strongly, that he doesn't have money. Why? So that you should be able to give him the money, and you need that extra mitzvah. Quite an, and so he's suffering to give you a schus. It's a whole different way of looking at it, that's for sure. And when he, and it's very interesting. Okay, let's say obviously there's reasons for him. Nobody's a means. Everybody's an end to themselves. We know that. But nevertheless, partially, why we encountered them, obviously there is something in it. Let's see. Continue. We go on more. We have the famous story of Rabbi Akiva. Let's see. So this argument was once advanced by a Roman general. This is the famous one. Vizu she'ela sha'al Turnus Rufus Harasha. Okay, he was a very wicked man, one of the ones who came to destroy the Beis Hamikdash, and he asked Rabbi Akiva, and he said, Im elekechem oyhevaniimhu. If Hashem loves the poor, mipnei ma anu mefarnesem. So then, why doesn't he? Why doesn't he supply them with food, give them money, give them everything they need? So Rabbi Akiva says a very interesting thing. He tells them what we said before. Amar loy kadesh nitzel anu bahen medina shel gehenim, so that we should merit, so to speak, have a schus, and we shouldn't have to go to Gehenim. Okay, but Turnus Rufus is not happy with his answer. What does he say? Amar loy atarabah. On the contrary, zu shemichayavtan legehenim. The fact that you're giving them tzedakah, that should make you go to Gehenim. Why? Because you're interfering with Hashem's. Yeah, if you want to say, you know, the way it's like as if the teacher sent the child out of the classroom, and another kid is going to go and say, "Oh, you nebach," you know, what's the teacher going to be happy? She'll be angry as anything. They'll also be kicked out of the class. What's going on? How dare we interfere with Hashem? Want that person to suffer, and you're going to come in the middle? So listen to what Rabbi Akiva says. Very beautiful. So Rabbi Akiva, and Turnus Rufus has a mushel. That's right. He says, "Em shalach mushel. I have a mushel. L'mah davar daima. What is this similar? L'melech basar v'adam shekas al avdei. A king who is angry at a servant. V'chav shay b'veis haservant, he puts him into prison. V'tziva alav shaloi l'achiloi v'shaloi l'ashkaisei. Right? He says no. No food, no drink. This person needs to be punished. And somebody comes and gives him food and drink. What do you think the king is going to do? Kishashama ha-melech lo-kayes alav. Don't you think the king will be so angry at the person who went against his decree and gave this other person food and drink? Va'atem kruyin avadim. Turnus Rufus was no fool. And he says, you're called servants of Hashem. Shenemar kili b'nei Yisrael avadim. So the same thing. How dare you guys interfere if Hashem says, if Hashem decided this person shouldn't have. So Rabbi Akiva says, Amr le Rabbi Akiva, em shalacha mashal. So I'll give you another mashal. And what is it? L'mahadavar daime, l'melech basar v'adam, shekas al b'noi, v'chav shoy b'beis ha'asurin. So if there's a king, and he has a son, and he got angry at his son because his son did something wrong, and he puts his son into prison. And what happens? V'tziva alav shaloi l'achila v'shaloi l'ashkaisa. And also commands, nobody should give him to eat, nobody should give him to drink. V'halach adam echad v'achila v'shko. But one person defies the king and gives the prince what to eat and drink. K'sheshama ha'melech loy dairan mishagar loy. When the king hears, doesn't he send the man the gift? Do you think he's going to be really angry at that man? He's going to be absolutely thrilled that somebody had the chutzpah to defy him and save his son. That's what he really wants. So Rabbi Akiva says to Turnus Rufus, Van Anon Kruyan Banim, we are the sons of Hashem. Not just the servants of Hashem, we're the sons. And he says, Banim Atem LaHashem Aleikechem, right? You are the children of Hashem. And therefore, there's no Gehenim. If anything, when we give, that's when Hashem is happy. But Turnus Rufus continues with the argument. Amar Lai, Atem Kruyan Banim, U Kruyan Avadim. You know what, Rabbi Akiva, you're right. You're called sons, but you know, you're also called servants. And when does each one apply? So on page 2, so Rabbi Akiva, so he says like this, Bizman sha'atem ha'isin ritzayin ishal makim, when you do the will of Hashem, atem kriyim banim, then you are called his children. Nope, this is Turnus Rufus says. And he's right to a certain extent, yes. So when we're doing the right thing, so we're his children. But when you don't do the will of Hashem, then you're his servants. And then you shouldn't be able to get tzedakah. And this is very interesting. Now you're definitely not doing the will of Hashem. And I know that because who's ruling over you? Us. Right? We are able to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. We're able to rule over you. We are able to be on top of you. You're not free in your land. So therefore, what does Rabbi Akiva answer? So he says, no. Tzedakah all times. How Amar Lai? So Rabbi Akiva replies to Turnus Rufus and he says, Harehu Aymer. And he quotes from a beautiful pasuk. And it's very interesting. It's a pasuk in Yeshayahu. And the pasuk says, Haloi farois la'ra'av lachmecha va'aniyim merudim Tavi Bayis, which literally means you will break your bread for the hungry and wailing poor, you will bring to the house. So break the bread for the hungry and the wailing poor, you will bring to the house. Now, what does that have to do with anything? So Rabbi Akiva says, Eimasai aniyim merudim tavi bayis. When does the pasuk say the wailing poor you will bring to the house? When does it apply? Now, ha'idna, now. Why? Because the pasuk says, Frois la'ra'av lachmecha. The person, what does the pasuk say? You will break your bread for the hungry. Who are merudim? Merudim are those who rebel. Even when we Jews are rebelling against Hashem, we are still his children. It doesn't make a difference. We still have to give tzedakah. Hashem wants us to give tzedakah. It's wrong. What you're saying, Turnus Rufus, is all off, Rabbi Akiva says. Because no matter what, we are still Hashem's children. It's true we're his servants, but we're always his children. It's just a little more covered up, as we say. And that's why he says, no, give tzedakah, Hashem will not be upset, and that's the way we avoid Gehenim, not get Gehenim. That's the a very beautiful part of the... I'm just thinking there was a very beautiful thing also on the other side. Oh, I want to just show you one very nice story. It's a famous story. Look at the bottom of the page. There's a story of Rabbi Yechonam and Zakkai. And it's also very interesting. Again, the perspective of both loaning and giving tzedakah can help. He says, an application of the above is like that, the case of the nephews of Rabbi Yechonam and Zakkai. So it says there was a story. I'll just read you the English here because this is all Aramaic because it's an agadita. So it says, for once Rabbi Yechonam saw in a dream that his nephews were required to lose 700 dinars, right? Hashem decided They're going to lose that much money during the coming year. So what happened? Rabbi Yochanan, a whole year, was trying to convince them to donate money, and he took from them almost the entire 700 dinars they ended up giving throughout the year for tzedakah. But they were short 17 dinars that they didn't give. They gave 600 and whatever, 83. So he says, when Yom Kippur arrived, the Erev Yom Kippur, the Roman government dispatched emissaries who confiscated 17 dinars. That's how much they came for. So what happened? The nephews were frightened that the officers would return. So Rabbi Yochanan said, no, Rabbi Yochanan Metzaka says, don't be afraid. You won't lose any more money. They took the 17 that remained in your possession from the 700 that you were supposed to lose. No more will be taken. So they look at him and they ask him, very interesting. They say, how do you know that only 17 dinars? So he says, I saw in a dream about you that you were supposed to lose a certain amount of money, and I calculated how much. And then, very interesting, now they realized why the whole year Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was pushing them to give tzedakah, extra tzedakah. So they said a very beautiful thing. They said, why didn't you tell us? Just tell us that we're supposed to lose 700 and we would give it right away. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, no, I wanted to give you that you should be able to do the mitzvah lishma without any agendas. It's not like, oh, I'll give it to tzedakah instead of to the Romans. I give it to tzedakah because that's where I'm meant to give it. But the point why the Gemara brings the story, and there's a lot of talk about that, is that every time, and there's many, many stories of tzaddikim with this, and people who understand, it's not just tzaddikim, this is a mitzvah that, this is one of the mitzvahs that everybody can do, so to speak, whoever you are, is that when we give tzedakah, we know that that's money that really becomes ours, so to speak, as we say. That's really our wealth. And any time that we give tzedakah, sometimes it is money that was supposed to unfortunately be used for something else that is not a positive thing, and instead we are giving it away to tzedakah. Sometimes, unfortunately, it could be used for doctors, or it could be used for extra taxes, or whatever it may be. Here, no, to tzedakah, and then they avoided all the other negative expenditure that could have come, which would have been such a silly loss. So it's a very beautiful idea, a very beautiful perspective. I want to show you, let's look on page 3, just before the time is up. We'll see a little bit. A little bit of page 3 is, you can see, you have to turn it, is the Sefer HaChinuch again. The Sefer HaChinuch gives us a beautiful insight to understanding the mitzvah before we do the other mefarshim inside. So I'm thinking where we should start from. Yeah, let's start from the beginning of the mitzvah, because just he explains a little more about the details. So this is talking about loaning money, as we say, lahalvais la'ani, kehasogas hayad, so you should lend as much as you can afford, kefima shetzarech lay, as much as the other person needs, leman harchiv lay, so that it should like widen, in other words, bring him relief. Ula hakel me olav an chasai, to so to speak, make lighter for him his yoke, his difficulty. So the person comes to you, he wants a certain amount of money, that's what he decided he needs, and that will lighten the load, maybe invest, whatever it is. Do it. If you're able to, then you should do it. And if you're able to do that much. V'zayis ha-mitzvah shel halvahi yaser chazaka umuyucheves mi-mitzvahs nesinas ha-tzedakah. This is even more and stronger and greater than the mitzvah of tzedakah. Why? What's the advantage of the loaning over tzedakah? So he says, shemi shenizgalavin noida dachkai bein b'nei adam, somebody who had already been revealed his difficult plight amongst people, so everybody knows his financial status, that it's not good. V'gila panav lishol mehen, and he's already, unfortunately, had to reveal to them and ask from them, right? Because he has no choice, so he's already stooped to needing to ask for tzedakah. Ein doch kaiv afelosai. His pressing, his darkness, his challenge is not, he says, as great kemisha adayin loibala oisabusha, as compared to the person who has not yet come to that shame. Interesting. You would think, Nebach, this poor guy, he has to go around asking for tzedakah. It's such a shameful position. And this other person, he's only asking for a loan in the meantime. But according, very, very beautifully, he says like this, that the one who is asking for the loan, in many ways, is under more stress. more anxiety than the one who's already begging for tzedakah. He already has resigned. Unfortunately, everybody knows he's lost it all. He has no choice. He has to ask for tzedakah. But the one who's asking for a loan is still in that in-between state where he's trying to retain his image, right? His reputation. He's not yet known that he's in financial trouble. Nobody's aware how difficult his plight is yet. And that's the worst position to be in. That's what Sefer HaChinuch says. He says, and look how beautiful he says, it's very interesting language. It's amazing that the Sefer HaChinuch in the 1200s, it's so psychologically in tune, and he's afraid. His anxiety of what's coming next is crazy. Like, that's what he's afraid. He's afraid to get to that state where he's going to have to beg for tzedakah. So this person, he's in a greater state of anxiety, and he's much more vulnerable at that stage than even the person who's already asking for tzedakah. So therefore he says, "V'im yeh le'ma'at tzad shel halva," and the Torah says, if you will give him just a little bit of support with a loan, "b'mah sheyirvach ma'at," in order, hopefully, he will be able to profit a little bit. Maybe you will help prevent him from getting to the point of needing tzedakah. That loan will avert that descent into that state of needing tzedakah. And when Hashem will have compassion on him and actually allow him to profit, he will pay back his debt. And he'll live with the rest. In other words, it's an amazing thing. It's a very, also an interesting perspective, even greater. Not only is it greater, but it's greater because this person is in a terrible, terrible state. That anxiety of, maybe I'm going to lose it all, I'm going to have to go beg for tzedakah, is greater than when you're actually already known to have lost it. And that's the worst stage, and therefore if we can avoid and we can pick him up out of it, no greater mitzvah than that. No greater form of tzedakah.
But it's not to do with the very poor, that if you're not giving me,
we die. Okay, so you have to give tzedakah. It's not either or. But what I think we see is, when the poor person comes and is going to die, you'll give him. Nobody's going to hesitate. But when the person knocks on the door for the loan, and we start to think, I don't know, how much? That's the difference, Leah, you see? Very different. And this is what the Torah is telling us. No, don't have that attitude. You should look at him just like you look at that person that's about to die. Exactly the same way, even more, even with more compassion. It's a very interesting, it's a very different way of thinking. As we can see, it's quite incredible. It's very fascinating.
This law does not apply to the bank, huh? They don't know
I don't think so, Leah. I wish, but I don't think so. Okay, I guess we'll, I don't know, we should stop for one more minute. I don't know, we'll stop. Okay, we'll continue next in Mirza. The bank or what? I like.